Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the Isaiah text, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Chapter 2 of the book of Isaiah repeats itself. It repeats chapter 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It starts a repetitive nature here in the text. Chapter 1, you see, introduced the whole of Isaiah's prophecies. Chapter 2 begins a section, well, often called the Book of Emmanuel. It's chapter 2 through chapter 12 of Isaiah's prophecies because it centers on the promises of the coming Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, that is God with us. Jesus here is making our text a wonderful text and a fitting text to begin the season of Advent for us today, as we often join our voices with the prophet Isaiah and sing the great Advent hymn, O come, Emmanuel. This hymn we will pray in Advent, but on the fourth Sunday in Advent, so we will wait and hold our powder. Chapter 1, you see, ends with Isaiah revealing that God would purge the dross and the impurities from the people of and redeem Zion. But all who forsake the Lord would perish. This is more law and judgment day language. But now chapter 2, it turns us with Isaiah to his vision as, well, the word of God here is made visible for him, which is one of the ways in which God inspired his prophets. So when Isaiah is speaking the word, the prophet is not speaking his word, but God's word. And this prophecy begins with the phrase, and it shall come to pass in the latter days. This is speaking about the New Testament age, if you will. And that began with the first advent of Christ, our Lord's birth, and will conclude with his second advent or coming. This God-man, Jesus, who has come in the flesh, ushers in the last days for us all. These latter days, well, when you talk about them, it produces terror and fear in some. It's really interesting how so many people hear the cries of the sky is falling all around them. They're always seemingly looking for the end of the world, and the farm animals need to be reminded that it's just an acorn, right? I mean, I was doing some research this week, and I found that since 44 AD, since 44 AD, there have been 242 predictions of the end of the world. And we're still here. These predictions go all the way to 2028. So there's some coming. Be aware, when the media starts going nuts again, we can all smile and laugh, right? Our politicians have added to the list of doomsday sayers with the lovely phrase climate change. I love how that changed from global warming to climate change, because when I was a kid, we were going into an ice age. And now, and when I got to be a teenager, we were going to be swamped by greenhouse gases and burn up. And now they just call it climate change because it covers both ends of the spectrum, as the end of the world as we know it apparently is coming. I think there was a movie out a few years ago that had already predicted that we should be swimming in water by now. And I'm not. And a politician who's been saying that, I think the countdown's now to 11 years before the world is destroyed. Please understand, this earth will be destroyed. But it will not be climate change, it'll be fire. When God comes and makes a new heaven and a new earth. And we will hear a trumpet before that occurs. And at that trumpet sound, those who are alive in Christ will rise to eternal life. And those who are dead in Christ will, well, those that, and I mean, I'm using that term this way, those who have rejected Jesus will have eternal fire. So you see, we Christians, we can look forward to the future with peace. We have peace because all has been reconciled between God and man by the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. So with the latter days as our backdrop, Isaiah reveals a glorious future. A foretaste of this is given to us today as we gather as God's people around God's word and God's sacraments. This is the church. This is the New Testament church in this place, the Lord's temple, where the Lord is present, as Jesus has promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. For wherever the message of the crucified and risen Savior is proclaimed and his sacraments are administered according to Christ's command, there's the church. God is present with his grace and his favor, drawing all people to himself. Just as our Lord Jesus had declared in John chapter 12, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Early second century church father, or bishop, Justin Martyr, a disciple of the disciples, speaks of this gospel going to all nations this way. Mind you, he's writing in 110 AD, somewhere in that neighborhood. "We can show you that this actually happened. For a group of 12 men went out from Jerusalem, and they were ignorant men." That phrase there is very comforting for me. "And they were ignorant men, not trained in oratory. But through the power of God, they witnessed to every race of humanity that they were sent out by Christ to teach the word of God to all people. Now we who once killed one another no longer war against each other, but more so we gladly die for the confession of Christ in order not to lie to or deceive our interrogators." See the peace at which the Christian faces the future, no matter good or bad, it always ends up good because it is in Christ. The message of the gospel, that is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, as Paul puts it, for the temple. The visible temple is the body of Christ. And that body of Christ is in the invisible church, which continues to be built up through the proclamation of God's gospel until our Lord returns in glory. And so Isaiah goes on, and he uses this phrase. He says, "All other mountains." That phrase is an interesting one, because what it is talking about is it's a way of saying all other religions, because all religions had their worship places on top of mountains. And so he's saying all other religions, or we could go on and say all other philosophies, all other ways of life, all other achievements of individuals and nations to which people turn to for help and for salvation, they can't save you. They're not high enough, as Isaiah shows. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above all above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths.'" Christianity, the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is above all. It is the only way, truth, and life that our Lord sets before us. The writer of the Hebrews describes this way: "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Our text, you see, is a beautiful proclamation of God's mercy, grace, and love as God gives to Isaiah and to Micah, one of Isaiah's contemporaries, an interesting message. 110 years or so before, God had told the prophet Joel a declaration of war. In Joel 3, chapter 3, verse 10, we hear, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior." Now, 110 years later, the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Micah are given almost word for word the same prophecy. Starting at verse 4. "He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for the many peoples, that they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This place is Christ's church, where peace is declared. This is a unique position that we have of being the only source of true knowledge of salvation. As the church carries out its mission of proclaiming the gospel and using the sacraments, and these, dear friends in Christ, are our only weapons against any enemy, and we know that this weapon that we have, the word and the sacraments, will never return to us void. It always will have success, true success, not by worldly standards, but by God's standards. God's message will not fail. All the nations shall flow to it. But this is no theology of glory. The church will be successful because the word of God is successful, not because man's actions and ideas were successful. Hear the words that Isaiah speaks. "And many people shall come and say, Come, let us come up, go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The word of the law and the gospel, you see, will continue to proceed from our Lord even into the new Jerusalem, and there will be peace for all eternity. No more needs of swords and spears or guns and bombs, nor will you have young men and young women being trained for war anymore. There will be a righteous judge who will settle all disputes. This picture is almost too great to imagine in the now, as we don't live in the not yet. For we live in a time where there is wars and rumors of wars. We live in a time where there is mass shootings at sporting events, at parties, at schools, and even churches, where tragic accidents occur every day and our loved ones get ill and die. We live in a time when even loved ones become our bitter enemies, heaven forbid. No wonder the church, and that is the body of Christ, all the people in the church, continue to cry out with the 10 lepers that we heard so well about as we heard in the gospel on Thanksgiving. Jesus, have mercy on us. Isaiah declares, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." That is our call. This is our Advent message. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's vision, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and even his second advent are for us. So we, the people of God, continue in the now and the not yet. Now we are freed and forgiven. Not yet do we have the image of God fully restored. In the now we wait in the dark times with our eyes focused on the light of our salvation. And the light burst forth in Jesus, the light of the world, who continues declaring his people freed and forgiven, as you heard today in the absolution, as you live in your baptism, as you eat today the body and blood of Christ. You eat the food of forgiveness, his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. And so we come and worship as we strive to walk in the light of the Lord. We come to the Lord's table as we strive to walk in the light of the Lord. We come to receive the peace that passes all human understanding. For in faith in Christ, our sins are indeed forgiven, and heaven is our home. So come, let us walk in the light of the Lord as we await his final return, and let us awake. Let us awake again to our Advent cry. O come, Emmanuel. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.